Arizona Sports. The local sports leader. Burns and Gambo. The 4 o'clock reset. Brought to you by Collins Comfort AC and Plumbing. Proud home services partner of the Arizona Cardinals. 4 o'clock reset.
Halfway home on this Monday afternoon. Let's tell you everything that's going on in the world of sports. It's a little ditty we call the 4 o'clock reset here on the Burns and Gambo show. We start with the Phoenix Suns, for lack of a better term. They blew it yesterday against the Thunder. They had a 10-point lead with about 10.5 minutes to go in the game, and the Thunder went on a crazy 18-2 run and just took that game right away from the Phoenix Suns. Some are pointing to the officials as part of the reason why Devin Booker's 46 wasn't enough for the Suns. Monty Williams wouldn't agree with that.
We can't keep complaining about the officials when, you know, we look at all these teams that we're playing and we're giving up 36 free throws. We just got to be able to guard the ball without slapping down and be okay with that. And so it's a tough loss because we felt like we had control of the game.
Right now the Suns are sitting fourth in the West at 38-33, a half game ahead of the LA Clippers, Gambo.
Yeah, they did have control of the game. It was 100-90, 10-point lead early fourth quarter before that 18-2 run. And then Oklahoma City was able to make big plays at the end of the game, and the Suns weren't. You know, Chris Paul had a big miss with 51 seconds left. That has nothing to do with being fouled. Ish Wainwright missed a 3-point shot that would have brought it to within one with 21.5 seconds left. That has nothing to do with being fouled. You know, there was a turnover by Torrey Craig on an offensive foul. I mean, that was him. That was a turnover. Like, no excuses there. That was just plays that weren't made.
If you're looking for games that matter tonight in the NBA, because the Suns don't play until Wednesday when they take on the Lakers, the Warriors are at the Rockets, the Mavericks are at the Grizzlies, the Kings are at the Utah Jazz. Those are teams either in front of or right behind the Phoenix Suns in the standings. Everything is bunched up real tight, though. Gambo and I both agree. The Suns sitting at four, trying to get to two or three, seems like a lost cause at this point.
You know, and I will say at this point, I'm going to change my thinking. You know, a week ago or 10 days ago, I would have said you want Dallas to beat Memphis. Now I don't. You want Memphis to beat Dallas.
To push Dallas back a little further to make sure Dallas doesn't pass you for fourth. Yeah. Yeah, because right now they're two games back in the loss column from you. They're sixth.
Yeah, you're not catching Memphis. You don't want Dallas to catch you. So I think you want Memphis to win that game, and you concede that you're not going to catch Memphis, and you want to make sure that Dallas and Golden State and the Clippers don't catch you.
Sham Sharania, an update on the status of Kevin Durant. You might want to hear this one.
I would expect more evaluations later this week. I think there will be potentially an update later this week and early next week when they reevaluate him. And definitely there's optimism within the Suns that they're going to be cautious, but they are hopeful that he's going to be back in lineup before the end of March, potentially early April.
The end of March would leave them with 5 games left. If it's 10 days, that would leave them with 6 days left. There's a back-to-back in there, so we probably wouldn't play all of those games. It still kind of fits up with the original timeline we were given, but we're getting closer, Gambo, and boy, do they need him back, right?
Yeah, me and you both said this, like, what happens now doesn't matter so much. I'm not going to get too high or too low. I'm not going to be like, the Suns have no chance of winning a championship now. We've seen them play. They lost to Oklahoma City. They can't. None of that matters. When Kevin Durant comes back, it changes the whole dynamic of the Phoenix Suns. They're a completely different team. Completely different team. Capable of beating anybody on any given day once Kevin Durant is back. So you take your lumps here, and they are. They're taking their lumps. And when he comes back, you hope that he's healthy enough to lead them further down the road.
The Arizona Cardinals reportedly making a free agent signing today, bringing in wide receiver Zach Pascal on a 2-year deal.
Who?
Zach Pascal? Wide receiver? No? Not ringing a bell? Pascal and the Cardinals, they're reuniting Jonathan Gannon with Pascal. They spent time together with the Colts and last year with the Philadelphia Eagles. 15 catches on 19 targets for 150 yards last year with Philly. He had a decent year in 2020 with the Colts, but needless to say, this is not a high-profile signing for the Cardinals.
No, there's a guy, fourth or fifth wide receiver on your roster, slot guy, good blocker, but a slot guy, not a guy that's going to be a big impact player for you, but just a guy. Again, you do want to bring in guys you're familiar with. You want to bring in guys that you know that work hard, that play hard. This guy goes hard all the time from what everybody says. So it makes sense to bring in some of those guys.
We're just under 2 weeks away from the season opener for the Diamondbacks. They'll be on the road in Los Angeles taking on the Dodgers. Roster moves are starting to be made as the roster is getting whittled down. That includes Seth Beer getting sent down to AAA. That includes Brandon Pfaadt getting sent down as well. Today, they optioned lefty pitcher Tommy Henry to AAA, which means Dre Jameson and Ryne Nelson are the only guys on the roster right now that we thought those young pitchers that could compete for a fifth spot. They're the only ones left on the roster as Troy Lovello and the crew enters the home stretch. Then this happened today. According to AZ Central's Nick Pecoro, Carson Kelly was hit by a pitch on the right forearm and exited the game. According to Nick's Twitter account, he said he was still in a considerable amount of pain and that his level of concern was not minimal. We won't know the extent of the injury until he undergoes imaging, Gambo.
Ooh, that's not good. Now, they felt like they dodged a bullet with Marino, the other catcher, too.
Yes. He had got hit in the hand with a pitch, and they were worried that he might have broke something in his hand, but they don't feel like he's needed x-rays, so it seems like they did dodge a bullet with Gabriel Moreno on that one. So that's something to keep an eye on as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Carson Kelly is, you know, those two guys, are, you know, they're going to be the workhorses because, again, you don't have a catcher that goes, you know, 152 games, 160 games anymore like the old days.
Right.
You know, you need two catchers, and these are the two guys.
Speaking of the Diamondbacks, it looks like, though nothing definitive has been announced, that Merrill Kelly is going to be the starter for Team USA as they'll defend their title in tomorrow's WBC championship game. Team USA beat Cuba last night. They'll play the winner of today's Mexico-Japan matchup from Miami. And Merrill Kelly might get the start in that game, Gambo.
Yeah. I mean, look, Merrill enjoys this stuff. He's been really good. But this World Baseball Classic, it's amazing how it means so much to all these other countries. Not so much us, but, man, I remember we were down at the Suns Arena, you know, last week for a game, and the World Baseball Classic was going on, and the fans of Mexico, 47,000 in the stadium for the game, and they love watching their teams play.
Yeah, although I'll tell you, I watched a lot of that game yesterday against Cuba. It meant a lot to those players, those U.S. players.
Yeah, I think it does.
Paul Goldschmidt had a big day. Trey Turner was all kinds of fired up. It meant something to them, you know, for sure. I don't know if it means as much to them as it does to players from other countries, but it certainly means something to them. NCAA basketball, ASU lost to TCU on Friday night, the same day that GCU lost to Gonzaga. No more teams from State 48 are in the tournament, Gambo. So here's what we've got. We got among the top seeds, Alabama and Houston remain. Among the two seeds, we still have Texas and UCLA. Among the three seeds, we still have San Diego State, Tennessee, and Xavier and Gonzaga out there. The Cinderellas that are still dancing, none bigger than Princeton, a 15 seed. They advance. They'll play six-seeded Creighton coming out of the South.
Yeah, I think everybody's looking forward to that matchup between Gonzaga and UCLA in the West to see who's going to get to the Elite Eight. That will be a big one right there. That's a huge game. But, yeah, massive upsets in this tournament. I mean, first time since they, you know, expanded the field that you've got two number one seeds that didn't, you know, that didn't advance at least to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, and I misspoke. San Diego State's a 5 seed, not a 3 seed. But, yes, plenty of upsets, plenty of chalk still as the tournament resumes on Thursday. More college basketball news. Rick Pitino, no surprise, jumping from Iona to St. John's. Apparently, he's going to get a 6-year deal. Former St. John's coach Mike Anderson is going to file an arbitration lawsuit against the school after he was terminated for cause. He's saying he should be owed his $11 million if he had not been fired.
Yeah, Rick Pitino was a young coach at Providence, Billy Donovan, and St. John's was on top of the world with Louis Karnisek as a coach. They had Chris Mullen, they had Walter Berry, they had Bill Weddington, they had Mark Jackson. So Pitino was a very, very young coach in the conference when St. John's was in its heyday, and he's going to be tasked with trying to get St. John's back to what they used to be, where they used to get all the top New York kids to come play for them, and they used to have some teams that were very capable of winning the Big East.
All right, news out of the NFL. Gambo's going to love this. Roger Goodell and the NFL owners are expected to finalize a multi-year contract extension for the commissioner at next week's owners' meeting in Phoenix. I told you were going to love this, Gambo. I told you were.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I mean, they're happy with the way a lot of of things are running right now, so they're all making a lot of money.
Yeah. A 2020 New York Times report revealed Roger Goodell reportedly has made, are you ready for this?
No.
$500 million since becoming commissioner in 2006. He has made a $500 million as the commissioner of the NFL since 2006.
How about that?
God, that's crazy. Then around the NFL, two teams that might not be in the market for DeAndre Hopkins anymore. The Cowboys made a trade over the weekend, getting Texans wide receiver Brandon Cooks. They gave up a fifth year this year, a sixth round pick next year. And then Adam Thielen headed to the Carolina Panthers on a three-year deal. Those are two teams that we might now rule out for DeAndre Hopkins when it comes to
the Cards. Absolutely. You know, Thielen, 3 years, $25 million, $10 million in the first year of the deal. Still pretty good, but 32 years old. Number two receiver he was behind Justin Jefferson, but you know, he'll be the most experienced wide receiver on the Panthers, so that's a pretty good spot for him to go to. And you know, obviously the Cowboys were looking for a wide receiver. I would imagine that takes him out of DeAndre Hopkins, but we're still looking at maybe DeAndre Hopkins following Mac Jones, and maybe that could lead to the Patriots getting him. We don't know for sure, but we're keeping our eye on it.
Yeah, he followed him on Instagram, apparently. That's what's got people wondering about that. But when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, we circle back to the Phoenix Suns. An absolute collapse yesterday against Oklahoma City. And now we're starting to look at the standings and wonder what's going to happen to the Phoenix Suns in the West. That's next on the Burns and Gambo show.